Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, Crudy's doing D.C. You're back in the state. I'll be there joining you in the WAUK studios tomorrow. We got a big day. We've got a new first CD candidate joining us tomorrow. I believe her name Diane Anderson. She's coming in studio. Nice. Also, a 420 Friday factoid from our friend Alan Robinson over at the Herbal Aspect. He'll join us. What do you know, Dom, about 420 tomorrow on the big show?
All right.
And it is my understanding Earl Ingram Jr. of the Earl Ingram Show is going to be on our big show tomorrow at 5:30, and then perhaps cocktails afterwards.
Excellent.
We'll see how it goes. I will not offer him a Miller Lite, Dom. I assure you that. Something better for our friend Earl.
And there's a proper time. What's the proper time to offer a drink? Now, of course, Congressman Van Orden apparently offered Liza a beer at 10:30 this morning. What is the proper time to offer?
Well, that was, for clarity's sake, that was the staff. Derek, okay. You know, maybe recovering from his travels from the Middle East. But the suitcase was there. She didn't actually see the congressman, but she did see the beer fridge, and they did offer her a Miller Lite at 10:30 a.m. on a Thursday morning. Now, Dom, if you're at a tailgate party, you know, if we're going to the Badger game on Saturday, maybe I'd be down. Or, you know, Packers have an early kickoff this Sunday against the Vikings. Hopefully they play a little better.
Early, a noon Brewer game, you got to go tailgate before the game starts. I mean, it's not uncommon to have a beer before noon.
Just not to have a beer fridge in your office. I mean, I understand when radio guys do it, but others? I've got a question, Dom.
I mean, no doubt. If the radio guys are more responsible and less belligerent and more sober than our congressmen, you know, we've really, really crossed the bridge here, man.
And the proper time to offer any person a beverage, Dom? Well, preferably after 5 if it's an alcoholic beverage, you know, 5 o'clock somewhere. But that's like Madagascar, congressman, not exactly a D.C.,
What if you're working third shift, man? You know, it's okay. I've just wondered, you know, does the congressman imbibe at 10:30? That's what I want to know. Does he have the Irish coffee going on? You know, I'm just curious.
I wonder if he was flying on the transatlantic flight back from Israel, or if he was traveling via private jet.
With a gun? You think he had a gun with him this time? Because he's been known to travel in a plane with a loaded gun, right?
Congressman Paladin? Right? Have gun will travel. Dom, I want to actually take the conversation a different direction. I've been out here in D.C., and I also took the opportunity today to walk up to the Supreme Court, and I've never stepped all the way to the steps. Right there it is. I was a little surprised. Not by this. It says on the building, equal justice for all, I believe. I'll verify. I got a photo. But the part that I was a little surprised by, all the pigeons there on the Supreme Court, on the facade. And I was wondering if you'd describe them as stool pigeons. But anyways, Dom, that smell, the smell of corruption there by the court, not so much on the left, but on the right side, there is truly, and I mean this in the literal sense, there is a smell. It's like a corpse flower. And I suspect it's the smell of the corruption of Clarence Thomas. And there is an article, Ruth Marcus, Dom, over at the Washington Post. I'd like to share it with you and the audience in part. Opinion: the case of Clarence Thomas's motorhome gets curiouser and curiouser. So here's what Ruth Marcus writes at the Post. Is Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas a tax cheat? Question mark. His lawyer insists not. The available evidence suggests this is a fair question. Here is a quote from Elliot Burke, a statement about a loan that may or may not have been forgiven. The loan was never forgiven. Attorney Elliot Burke says in a statement about a $267,000 loan from Thomas's friends, Anthony Walters. Now, Dom, I think I owe you $40 right now. You hound me constantly. For... but who's counting, right?
Who's counting? Yeah, yeah, it's okay.
But the gift from friend Anthony Walters enabled the justice and his wife to buy a luxury motorhome, I'd say. Any suggestion to the contrary is false. The Thomases made all the payments to Mr. Walters on a regular basis until the terms of the agreement were satisfied in full.
Oh, great. Can we see the copy of the terms of the agreement?
Now, Marcus writes, this is hard to square with the information laid out in a Senate Finance Committee report on the transaction and difficult to credit in the absence of supporting information beyond Burke's conclusory assertion. Thomas, with his multiple failures to disclose his wife's employment, his receipt of free private plane travel, and tuition payments made on his behalf for a grandnephew, has forfeited the benefit of the doubt, let's say, Dom.
Right.
If Thomas, as Burke asserts, indeed satisfied in full the terms of his loan agreement, then let's see the agreement.
Yes.
Let's see the canceled checks.
Yes.
Now, Dom, three cheers for Congressional Oversight and Senate Finance Committee Chairman Ron Wyden, writes Ruth Marcus at the Post. The work of the majority staff of that panel builds on the August New York Times article that outlined how the Thomases were able to purchase a motor coach with underwriting from Walters, a longtime friend from their days together as congressional aides, Dom. Walters' help was critical because traditional lenders are reluctant to provide financing for high-end recreational vehicles. Maybe Thomas didn't make enough to justify the $267,000 ride, Dom. Now, Walters confirmed making the loan in 1999, but wouldn't provide details about its terms, including the total dollar value or interest rate charge, beyond asserting that the loan was satisfied. A fuzzy phrase that raised more questions than it answered. Now, the Finance Committee investigation filled in important blanks and underscored the reason for skepticism about the transaction and Thomas's compliance with both tax laws and financial disclosure rules. I don't know if he's compliant, Dom. Its analysts detailed the agreed-on interest rate, 7.5%, appears to be fair and was based on market rates at the time, even if the interest-only arrangement is unusual. Yeah, I'd say on a diminishing asset? I mean, you buy that thing, you drive it off the lot, it's worth less than you paid for it. What's the interest only about, Tom?
Well, it depends on who's driving it. I mean, if that was a Trump, vehicle, I mean, it's got to be worth like $1 billion.
The report was not dispositive about the amounts the Thomases paid to Walters. Walters could provide only one canceled check for $20,000. According to the report, a handwritten 2008 note from Walters states the Thomases have been paying Walters interest only on Thomas's bus for many years. Most significant, there seems to be no record that the Thomases ever repaid any, let me repeat that for you, Dom, any of the loan principal. Walters notes, this is a statement in quotations, Dom. Walters note indicates that there are Thomas's upcoming payment. Walters would no longer seek further payments from Justice Thomas on the loan because, according to Walters' note, Walters believed that Thomas's had paid interest greater than the purchase price of the bus and that Walters did not feel it was appropriate to continue to accept payments even though he had the right to them. So that seems like he's gifting them a pretty substantial benefit, Dom. Even then, the math doesn't quite add up. The interest payments would not have exceeded the purchase price. And here's where the taxes enter the equation. If the loan was forgiven, that would be an IRS speak, a taxable event. The forgiven amount would constitute income to the Thomases, and they would then owe taxes on it. Did he? Did he, Dom?
There is a subsidiary question about whether a canceled loan should have been disclosed on Thomas's annual financial disclosure reports. Loans for a personal motor vehicle, quote unquote, are explicitly exempted from the liabilities that must be reported in such forms according to the filing instructions provided to federal judges. But if forgiveness of the loan constitutes income for the Thomases, that would have to be reported. This is the last thing an already beleaguered court needs. Thomas, who has done incalculable damage to the institution, should make all his agreements with the Welters and any canceled checks fulfilling the loan's terms public. The Senate should keep pressing him to obtain information, including from the justice himself. Burke claims the loan was never forgiven, but that appears inconsistent with the Welters' note reviewed by the committee. He should be pressed to elaborate. A quote, the committee's investigation is clear. The person who loaned Justice Thomas $267,000 provided numerous documents indicating that a substantial portion of that debt was never repaid, Wyden said in a statement to me, again in the Washington Post. If Justice Thomas disputes that conclusion, he has an obligation to provide proof to the committee. Carefully worded statements from high-priced lawyers are not substitute for facts. The puzzle here is that there doesn't seem to be any ethical problem with the underlying loan. Welters and Thomas are friends of long standing. Welters doesn't have business before the court. The interest rate was appropriate. So why not repay the loan? Or if not, pay the taxes due on the benefit thereof. A man entrusted with interpreting the nation's tax laws should be capable of following them. And we are entitled to know whether he has complied with that duty. Writes the opinion of Ruth Marcus over at the Washington Post. And Ruth, I concur. I mean, come on, man. Did you pay it or not? It's very simple.
He did not. He did not. You know he did not.
So, I mean, it's one on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other. I mean, do we have them all now? I mean, come on. At what point does the IRS open a file on this guy? Are you kidding me?
I hope they've got a file on this guy. This guy being Clarence Thomas. Come back. We are the Devil's Advocates. Crudy does DC, but the Bucks tipping off in Milwaukee a little bit later today. And we've got our own sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Then a little bit later in the show, Liza Hellenbrand. She's been advocating for caregivers here in DC. I've been hanging out with her. I'm her plus one. Mrs. Crudy joins the Devil's Advocates at 5:30 today. Come back. More Crudy does DC edition. Devils on the road again.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%. Don't stop
here. And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you missed any of this fine program, go to civicmedia.us. You can download and listen to podcasts and interviews. Just look for the Devil's Advocate.
Dominic, did we mention the Milwaukee Bucks tipping off tonight on the BMO Harris Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network? We, Civic Media, now. Our six new stations, six new broadcast locations for the Milwaukee Bucks this season, this championship 23-24 season. We got Giannis, yeah, we got Damian Lillard, we got a brand new coach, and we tip off the season tonight. So, WFHR, WISS, WRJN, WRCE, the Big Q, and WLAK. Get ready for your Milwaukee Bucks kickoff, tip-off tonight. And Dom, we've got a little from our own sports reporter, Mike Clemens, joining us right now. Mike, I understand you are in Milwaukee for the tip-off. What did the new head coach have to say? This is something new, a little pregame presser.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys. You know, I thought what was most interesting, Mike, was, you know, you got Chris Middleton back. Chris had surgery on that left knee in May after they were one and done in the playoffs. And they were bringing him back gradually. There was one practice I went to where he participated a little bit in the five-on-five in one of the last preseason games. He had like 12 minutes of time and 5 points. But it seemed like Adrian Griffin tonight was leaning more towards like, Chris is going to get more time than that. So they must think he's a little more ready. But, of course, the big show everybody's looking for is see how Giannis works around with Damian Lillard, who they picked up in that huge trade with Portland.
Now, the tip-off tonight, 6:30, it's going to play on TNT on the television, but you can hear it across the Civic Media Network here. Keep it tuned. We do not have the streaming rights, but we are going to play it on the on-air stations. But, Mike, I mean, a lot of excitement about this team. Did Griffith address the new signee? Giannis signed up on a big three-year. Tell us about that, Michael.
Yeah, you know, I can't believe there's so many folks in the national media that cover the NBA. Some of them are like, you know, even Wisconsin fans, and they're just convinced that he's not going to stay here in Milwaukee. Oh, he's just saying that, but, you know, they keep on thinking about it. And there are times where you get the sense that either the networks, I don't know, maybe the league or something, they want these guys to be the big market. They didn't want LeBron to be in Cleveland. They wanted to be in Miami or LA or those kinds of things because it just, you know, it's a bigger market and, you know, more chance for sponsorship or whatever. And Mike, Giannis made it clear the other day. He loves this town. He's grateful for it. His kids go to school here. And he actually, you know, so he used a little leverage with that New York Times interview in August to keep the company on edge to say, I need to work for a place that's doing everything they can to win. And they went out and they made that huge trade for Lillard, a guy that he'd picked, you know, when he was the all-star captain. And I think that's okay. But in terms of living and working in Milwaukee, he's fine. He said he didn't even, he said the decision to sign you a contract the other day was actually spontaneous. And so it's like, you know what, let's just get this over with, because everybody around me is like, well, what's he going to do next? What's he going to do next? And so he wanted to put everybody at ease so they can focus on the basketball.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates. That's Mike Clemens, Civic Media's sports reporter, talking about the Bucks home opener ticket today against the 76ers. Mike, what about the matchup? I haven't really paid attention to the Sixers since Dr. J and Allen Iverson more recently. How's it looking? What are you thinking? What's the matchup look like?
You and me both. You know, really the biggest story the Sixers have had to deal with is James Harden, you know, the beard. And he's wanted to be traded. Now, he came into practice 2 days ago. They decided he's not going to get on the plane and be a part of this game tonight. Wow. But, you know, I was talking to a guy from the Bucks about this as this game was coming up. I said, what's James Harden's deal? He said, you know, Mike, you know how some fans, they want to say at one point they've been in every ballpark, you know, in baseball or in basketball. They've been to every arena in the NBA. He says, we think James Harden wants to say that he collected a paycheck from every team in the NBA before he retired. I think that's what his goal is.
That's not a bad goal.
Our fine sports reporter, Mike, also looking forward to the weekend. I don't know if we'll have time to sneak you back in. Mike, not only are the Bucks tipping off tonight, but I would say the Badgers have the biggest test of the year. Ohio State coming to town on Saturday night. Mike, the optimist in me would like to think we're going to play a good game, but how do you think the Badgers will stack up against the Buckeyes?
Oh, I think they just want to be respectable. They don't want it to be a blowout because Ohio State looks great on so many different levels, and there's a reason they're ranked number three in the country. And as for the Packers, I don't have a good – did you see any of the Vikings game against the 49ers on Monday Night Football? Kirk Cousins was playing out of his mind, and wow. I actually had a couple – And I asked LaFleur about that this afternoon, Mike, and Dom, and I said, what about Dalvin Cook? When they let go of him, he says, you know what? Their offensive line is healthier this year, and they've got a respectable run game, too.
So does that mean we're going to lose that game as well, Mike? What are you telling us here, brother?
Yeah, no, I don't have a good feeling about it at all. I really don't. Then Packers have got some injuries. I had a great 20-minute conversation with Jordan Love yesterday. Do not give up on this kid. He's really smart. I think he's going to figure it out. I think he's going to find a niche. But there are so many little things that I could go into about what's around him that he's dealing with, an inexperience, and then injuries. And, you know, the team that they're going to put out there Sunday, that's half the team that they had on, you know, script in August due to, I mean, yeah. You're losing Bakhtiari. You haven't had Aaron Jones for most of the season. I can go on and on. So just the fact that he's still keeping you close, you know, he's learning every game and there's progress. And that's not excuses. I honestly think Jordan Love's got plenty of room to grow and to be able to win football games for you.
Well, he seems like a hell of a second half quarterback, but this team has been a god-awful first half team. Mike, will we see a touchdown scored against the Vikings in the first half? Is that too much to ask?
No, it's not. It would be a beautiful thing. But, you know, just when they do get something going, even one of their veterans gets called for a hold or a false start. I mean, it's unbelievable how dumb the little things are. You know, you got 11 guys out there, and one knucklehead makes a mistake, and you got third and 20 with the ball in your hand, and beat a crappy Broncos team.
And Mike, is it fair to compare, you know, Jordan Love's first few games to that of Favre and that of Rodgers? I mean, is that – I've seen some of the fawning and complaining about it, but what's your sense on the comparison?
To a point, I don't like to make that 2008 comparison for Rodgers so much because of different situations. But I will tell you this, I looked it up the other day. You know, Aaron lost five in a row in 2008. You know, I mean, we're probably headed that way. But he will never be as accurate as Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love will. But he'll be a different kind of quarterback. And if he runs the offense, they've got a great potential in the next year or two.
Well, here's the great news. We got the Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks going to the championship or bust this year. Our fine sports reporter, Mike Clemens, you'll be at the game tonight, the tip-off of the Bucks NBA season. Mike, appreciate you joining us here on a Thursday afternoon.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you, Michael. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Crudy live in D.C. is Mrs. Crudy's plus one. She has been here doing national advocacy for caregivers. She went to the Hill. And she brought back some stories today. She will join me right here from the Royal Sonesta that I mentioned on this beautiful hotel on Capitol Hill. It's I don't know, its emblem is a giant beaver. It's just a strange thing to choose. I prefer a buck. Go Bucks! Bucks and six. Media Markets, tune in tonight. Come back. Mrs. Crudy, Lisa Hellenbrand joins the Devil's Advocates.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thank you to our most recent guest, the fine one, our sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Go Bucks! We're giving way to Bucks coverage in about six different media markets coming up very soon, Dom. But I got a fine guest with me. Crudy does DC, Crudy's plural, doing DC this week. I am actually technically here as Liza Hellenbrand's plus one. I'd like to introduce Mrs. Crudy, the host of the Empowered Caregiver Show and an advocate, national advocate for caregivers. That's what you're doing here in DC, right, Liza?
That is what I'm doing here in D.C., and I'm so honored to represent the 850,000 Wisconsin Knights that are working hard and struggling in a system that is not sustainable.
Now, specifically, what is the advocacy that this group, and this is what, the first National Caregivers Conference that's happening this week in D.C.?
It's the first National Caregiver Summit, yes. And I try to simplify this, if I could say that word, in an elevator speech. And really what it comes down to is in 2018, the RAISE Act was passed. And this is where I missed an episode or two of Schoolhouse Rocks because nothing was done on it. So the National Alliance of Caregivers, which is made up of hundreds of different large organizations, AARP, National Cancer Society. I mean, big names are part of this organization. And I had the privilege to be part of it through the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance, which really was just a volunteer position that I took, that you could take or anyone could take. And I've been part of it to learn more and learn how to advocate.
Well, and I've told you, I'm proud of the work you're doing here in D.C. When you went out, and who did you have a chance to visit with? I know you had a number of appointments today. Who were the specific lawmakers and staffs that you met with?
I will tell you that, but I should finish why we are here. Because in 2018, nothing happened. So there's a national act on RAISE. Act meaning let's do something about it. Nothing was funded. Nothing was resourced. So hundreds of agencies are coming together to advocate for them to act on this bill, this raise that was passed in 2018. Who I saw today was...
I'm sorry, and I'm going to interrupt you. So if I understand this, there was a framework put in place by prior legislation.
Yeah.
And is it necessary? Does this framework lay out future actions that now have to be decided upon, or do we need more legislative action to flush out the details now?
So what was done was a massive collaboration between federal agencies and private sectors came together and collected hundreds of different providers and caregiver stories and really, you know, analyzed what was needed to do to support these Americans, because they are the backbone of our nation. If they can't sustain what they do and their loved one needs to go into a home, it is going to cost taxpayers thousands of dollars. So my heart goes out to caregivers first and foremost, but this is economics 101. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Crudy Does DC. And I've got Liza Hellenbrand. She is the host of the Empowered Caregiver Show. I am her plus one this week. She is here advocating on behalf of caregivers. And you went up to Capitol Hill. And it was a little bit crazy yesterday because they picked a new speaker. But today you went up to the Hill and you had meetings with the staff of U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Correct.
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson.
Correct.
Congressman Mark Pocan, our congressperson from the 2nd CD, the Madison area. And then there was this other meeting you had with Derek Van Orden's staff. And Derek Van Orden, apparently you reported, and I believe you, we know he's back because his suitcase is in the office.
Yeah, he doesn't travel light. He needs to hire me. I've mastered traveling light. I have given up to Mike's complaining about my excessive baggage.
Don't worry, Liza. Crudy's got enough baggage for the both of you.
Let me ask you this. How big a bag is Van Orden packing, if you know what I'm saying?
He was dressed for every occasion. I don't know what to tell you. It was a big. It was a big suitcase.
Like a trunk?
Ish. Modern day trunk. I don't know.
So, more importantly, you went to meet with Derek Van Orden, specifically the staff, because so often the electeds, you know, they're too important for their constituents. But something unusual they do in the Van Orden office, and I share this, but please tell me what they offered you for a beverage this morning at 10:30 a.m.
I don't know if I can.
Why is that?
I don't know what the rules are behind it, but it was Wisconsin's finest. Use your imagination.
So, in other words, you were offered a Molson Coors beer product, not made in Wisconsin, from the beer fridge of Derek Van Orden that is, from the visual inspection, Dom and I have both made, really needs to be defrosted. What kind of a Wisconsinite's got a frozen beer fridge, right?
That thing's working overtime.
Are you concerned that you were sworn to secrecy by Van Orden staffers over a Miller Lite?
I don't know. I don't even in this day and age want to think about it.
Even
they're not inviting you back. So what are you worried about?
Liza, what has the response been with the staff, with the different senators and Congress folks that you met with? What are you telling them, and what's the response? I mean, are they down with this? Have you gotten any pushback? What was your sense after having these meetings?
Well, you want to feel old, go and advocate at the Capitol, because I swear to God, most of these kids looked 15.
Yeah.
The staffers. But no, there wasn't pushback. But for me, the point that I wanted to get across first and foremost is that this is really seen as a familial duty. Like, this is no big deal. This is what families do for each other. But what they don't understand is how things have changed. You know, we're expected to provide in-home medical care and therapy and manage Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, insurance companies. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And it's too much for a lot of people to do in addition to the rest of their life, because life is hard enough.
Yeah. So is there, with the legislation that's out there, I mean, are there tax deductions? Are there funds specifically available? What's the ask? What's the fix in your mind, Liza?
There is a lot. Actually, on the federal level, there are over 350 actions, and they did make a commitment to act on them over the next 3 years. So there are some things being done. So tax credit is definitely one of them. The average caregiver spends over $7,000 per year out of their own pocket. So tax credit is one. There was a lot of simple ones. There's one very Wisconsin specific, but we wanted to let everyone know, so if they have any push, and that is, I had no idea about this. This is the only thing that's regulated by Congress is the volunteer mileage. The Congress regulates that. The IRS does for everybody else. The last time they voted on that was 1986. The current reimbursement rate is 14 cents. And with the economy and the whatever, and they reimburse that as a taxable income. So they volunteer their time and they get taxed. So they're just asking for current tax rate.
65 and a half cents a mile is the current.
Yeah,
IRS
yes, deduction. Yes, yes.
A whole lot more than 14 cents.
Yeah. I mean, and think about rural America, Dom. How many, they don't have Ubers. They don't have taxis. They rely heavily on these volunteers to take people to medical appointments and whatnot.
Folks, she is Liza Hellenbrand. She is the host of the Empowered Caregiver Show, appearing Wednesday nights right here on the Civic Media Network, 7 p.m. Listen, last night, I thought it was an excellent job, and I was on that show, so perhaps one of your best, Liza. But U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, you also went to Ron's office, and the last time Dom and I were in D.C., we were in Ron Johnson's office. Let me ask you, did Ron peek out? Did Ron remember us, or what happened at Ron's office?
Well, I didn't speak to Ron, but I told the nice, very young gentleman that my husband knows Ron, and he wanted to say hello. And I think the staffer could care less. And I said, they have this real love-hate relationship. And he's like, what's your husband's name? And he wrote it down. So.
Oh, I would say I've got a love-hate relationship with Ron Johnson. And I suspect likewise. He for me, Dom. So Tammy Baldwin, Senator Baldwin's staff met with you as well. And you mentioned one young lady is was striking, like our daughter, like your daughter, Kelsey Kidd. And you met with this young lady. Was that the best reception? No offense to Pocan's office, but where did you get the best reception? Where did you feel like you moved the needle today?
You know, I have to be honest,
Van Orden.
Thank you, Van Orden. His staffer was knowledgeable. She was aware of some of these things. She was one of few that asked questions. We raised the concern of veteran caregiver issues, which there are a lot of them out there. And, you know, that's a cause that's near and dear to his heart. So, you know, she paid attention. I would give her first place.
What a shrewd communicator, understanding the importance of certain issues to your audience. If only that congressman had learned a few of those lessons. She's Liza Hellenbrand. She is a master communicator, host of the Empowered Caregiver Show. I have been here as her plus one. She is here in Washington, D.C. She's been advocating on behalf of caregivers. And you've told me this, and I've learned this lesson, I'd like to think. But you talk about the enormous number of people affected by this issue. We talk about issues sometimes, and they seem only to affect a really small portion. You know, there are so many issues, I think, that's somebody else's problem. When you talk about caregivers, and I'm not talking about our family's experience, Liza, but it's one in five families. It's one in five people that provide this role to a family member or to someone close to them. I mean, you're talking about 20% of our population are living and giving aid to someone else, probably in an unpaid capacity. And I've heard some of your colleagues here, as they've been in the lobby, this Royal Sonesta filled with caregivers, and they're talking about the fact they don't get to take vacations because all of their vacation time is devoted to caregiving. And if they've got to take someone to the hospital, if they've got to be there for medical procedures, that's often at the expense of their own well-being, their own time off. So it's one in five people, and it's a huge national thing. And Liza, I am proud of you and appreciate the fact that you brought this to my attention through the Empowered Caregiver Show. So kudos.
Thank you. And you know, I don't know, I feel like I stumbled behind this, you know, upon this, but after our son went to college, you know, I realized, oh my goodness, you know, almost two decades of my life has been devoted to this kid and his outcome. Who am I and what is next and what just happened? And that's where I find, you know, I kind of went down the caregiver rabbit hole.
Well, well played. And last night's show, especially worth your listening. Find the podcast of the Empowered Caregiver Show from last night at thecivicmedia.us and tune in each Wednesday, and they replay on Saturday and Sunday mornings in most Civic Media markets at 8 o'clock. The Empowered Caregiver, Liza Hellenbrand. Liza, thank you for what you're doing, and thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks, Liza. Thank you.
Come back with us. One last segment for your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Crudy's leaving D.C. tomorrow, but one last segment to catch up right now.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789. Make sure you stick around. Our pal Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show, coming up next.
Dominic, want to thank our last guest, a fine one, Liza Hellenbrand, the host of the Empowered Caregiver Show, right here on the Civic Media Network, airs on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and replays Saturday mornings, 8 o'clock in most markets, and Sundays, same time. Check your local listings. Thank you, Liza. But Dom, last night in D.C., I'm going to have a good time tonight. I'm going to go to the place that Bill Press dragged me to last night, the George, it's called. And the George is right across from where he used to film Crossfire, I think he called it. You know, he was on it with Pat Buchanan, very proud. Bill and I had a great time last night. Couldn't stay late, had to write a column last night. I'm like, you could do that drunk, can't you, Bill?
Oh, but man, Bill, still working hard, man. He gives me hope.
He was telling stories on you in the Roman fountains, and I swear he claimed you were out there naked skinny dipping in the Roman fountains.
Well, he did send me to Pompeii and check out the secret room in the back of the museum where they had all the naked plates and statues and erotic. It was pretty hilarious.
He mentioned that you, of course, took him up on the inappropriate and then sent him photos just to prove you'd been there.
That's right, man.
It was great seeing Bill last night, and I'm going to sneak back to the George tonight for some more of the victuals there. Bill knows where the good eating's at. That's what I know. 844-967-2789. Tomorrow, as mentioned, Don, we'll air the grievances. I'll join you in Waukesha, flying back to Milwaukee, jumping on the air with you at 4 o'clock tomorrow Central Time. We got some fine guests joining us, including Alan Robinson, Diane Anderson, I believe the name of a first congressional newly announced CD candidate, First is Brian Style territory, Dom. And then the incomparable Earl Ingram Jr. at 5:30 in the Happier Happy Hour. And then, you know, maybe we'll have a Miller Lite or something at the end with Earl. Is it appropriate to offer Earl a Miller Lite at 5:30?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a proper time. Unless it's that's when you're going to work, man. Then
unless
you
want to offer him a better beer, like a Spotted Cow or something. I mean, this state is full of breweries.
You know, maybe you're staying on the right coast, and you're coastal elite, staying in the nice hotel, eating at the George. You know, you're living too large, man. Let me tell you something. My favorite beer, free. My second favorite beer, free and cold. I'm not very picky, man. I mean, I know you're a very fancy man. You like to stick to your Captain Morgan Diet Cokes. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there's something to be said about when someone offers, you take it and you have a drink. I mean, has ever been a bad beer? I mean, Schaefer's from college, man? I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
Have you ever tried a Hams? Because I got to tell you, that's bad beer.
It's not as bad as perhaps you remember. And anyway, you get it nice and cold. Oh, man, it's not terrible.
You know, the only beer I really do like is Spotted Cow. I am one of those guys. I am really I focus down to what I like. Why would I have beer I don't like? And I don't care if it's Freedom. Some of us have taste. And if I drink me a Double Captain Diet like I did at the George last night, you know, in part, that's why I'm going back to the George. A, yeah. Happy hour. And B, they got Captain Morgan. Not everywhere in D.C. does.
Yes.
At the hotel I'm staying at,
they don't have a lot of college girls coming by ordering the Captain Diet these days.
Like, you son of a
Crudy comes around, man. They'll know when Crudy's coming. Just keep it on stock. Well, get a 175, keep it in the bag.
I got some of the top shelf rum the other night, three fingers and an ice cube, Dom style. You'd have been proud of me, fella.
Oh, nice. Was it good? It's tasty, man. Some good rum, man. Mm. You don't mix with the soda. You gotta taste it.
I did taste it. I can still taste it, just a little bit. But
expanding
anyways,
your palate, Michael. I'm so proud.
I would say, if you know what you like, drink that. And you know what my primary fuel in this lifetime is, Dom? That green Diet Dew. Do you know I have not had a Diet Mountain Dew since I arrived in D.C.?
That's great, man. Good.
Not really.
Keep that trend going, man. I mean, Mountain Dew, dude. I mean, what? I mean, you have, how many of those do you have a day?
It's the nectar of the god.
That stuff is terrible. Gods. Oh, my God.
Well, maybe two or three. Like 40 to 60 ounces per day. Depends on the day.
Two or three, like, of the big gulps, though, man. I mean, oh, my God.
No,
goodness. I
mean, come on, big gulps.
What? Like, I'm going to say
20 ounces. Sometimes they're only 16-ounce bottles, but 20.
Oh, okay.
But I also have a preference. Like, recently, my wife bought some cans of Diet Dew. I don't like it in can. Like a beer can? I don't like beer out of a can either. I like it, strangely, give me the BBD. Give it to me out of a plastic bottle, baking in the sun. Yeah, give me all the chemicals, man. It enhances the taste.
Oh, God. Terrible.
So, Dom, I might do a little more walking tonight. I'd like to make it down to the Washington Monument, perhaps the Lincoln Monument. Anything you'd like me to do before I leave town here? You know, I didn't see Rojo, but I...
Yeah, man, I think you should go see if you find a free loose joint up at Washington Square Park and have one for me, man. You
that's
know,
in New York City, man. Come on.
That was New York.
DuPont Circle it was.
DuPont Circle. There we go. Thank you.
You know, I thought we were staying a little closer to DuPont Circle. We're actually staying right over by Columbus Circle, which is Union Station. DuPont Circle is like 15 minutes from here. I didn't know, Dom. I guess we're staying at the other Royal Sonesta.
If you don't, now you know. Now you know. You know, it's funny, Curtis. When you and I went there for Trump's inauguration, we were kind of in and out. We did like the vacation tour, you know, ran in and saw the Liberty Bell. And, you know,
that was Philadelphia, dude. You don't even know what city you were in.
I don't even know, man. You've been dragging me all over
Independence Hall
for years, man. Oh, my God. Okay, that's right. That was Philly. Cleveland. Yes, I remember Cleveland. We went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So there you go. I remember that one.
We did go there, and we considered Larry Flint's Hustler Club. But since they let us in Scott Walker's Tuskers by the River, they let us crash at the invitation of Dave Bladska. Shooters on the River. Tuskers on the River. You know, plan B was going back to the Larry Flynn Hustler Club. Didn't have to do that. That is the nicest place in Cleveland, I've heard. Not to asparage Cleveland. D.C., I got to tell you this. Clean. The people I've talked to here, at least the staff at the different things, overwhelmingly friendly. If it wasn't for the politicians in this town, this would be a great place. Thank you, D.C. Had a good time. I'm going to party it up one last time. I'll tell you about it tomorrow on the radio. Dom, we got a full show again. Alan Robinson, I believe her name, Linda or Diane Anderson. It's an Anderson. She's running for first CD. We'll confirm.
It's Anderson.
And the incomparable Earl Ingram Jr. in the Happier Happy Hour. Please tune in and air your grievances on the Friday edition. Go Bucks! They start their championship season in about 30 minutes.